Hi, I'm Jason Clare. I'm a pediatrician, and I work in Nairobi, and just got back a couple days ago, and my wife's sick, so she's a better speaker, but you got me. I went there with my wife 11 years ago, actually. I went there the first time when I was as a medical student. I was in Cook County, actually, doing my OB rotation at one point. Ooh. That place is crazy. But in any case, we went 11 years ago because of the AIDS crisis and the 6 million orphans and the Time magazine covers. And we started a variety of different programs in Uganda and Kenya and some in Tanzania. We ended up focusing in the last 6 years in 6 slums that ring Nairobi, a few of whom you've heard of, Kibera, everybody's heard of, Wakuru, Dandora, Mathari, some people have heard of. And Korogocho is the main place that we worked, actually with orphans. We started like all Americans or Westerners that go there with feeding programs and buying school kids uniforms, etc., and found that we just perpetuated dependency and then worked our way towards economic empowerment for orphan caregivers, many of whom are elderly, grandmothers. Their kids have died. They come home and leave the orphans with the grandparents, and they have no way to support themselves. So at this point in time, in Korogocho, which is a slum of a little over 50,000 people, we have 527 grandparents and aunties, et cetera, who have small microloans, and we put them together with weak and strong to help solidify the groups, and the strong encourage the weak. And there are a little over 1,000 orphans that are served by that program with school fees, et cetera. One of the things we found, though, is that many of the kids were being raped. Many of the girls in particular were being raped, young girls. For both of us, I was raped when I was a kid, my sisters and I. Me till I was 9, and my little sister till she was 18. And I'm 57, so I'm still trying to get over it. My wife was raped when she was 16. So that obviously had a real, had a personal impact on us, and then as all of you are aware, rape in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa right now, is devastating. Rape is always devastating, but if you had HIV, AIDS, poverty, the discrimination, it's especially difficult for kids. You can do everything you want about microloans, about education, etc., but girls are going to get nowhere. They end up literally in a heap in the corner of the room after some of these, what are horrific gang rapes, multiple rapes, etc. So my wife had this bright idea of start using her self-defense program that she learned in America. What the heck? Let's see if this works. Actually, we started with grandmothers. If you want to see, like, she was on CNN, and she's tons of news feed programs, etc., on Kung Fu grannies. Grandmothers were raped there. This is just in Korogocho, just in that slum. 2 to 3 a month. They're often gang raped, sometimes for days, and often to death. They're AIDS-free and unprotected. So she taught the grandmothers these very simple. How many people here know about self-defense? Yeah, not like kung fu or taekwondo, but just, you know, the eyes, the neck, the groin, the knees. And actually, pretty quick into them being trained, one of them killed a guy who came, you know, touring the dump. You know, she's foraging for food. And the best thing that grandmothers use is trickery. They're just really sharp and sly. It's like, oh, nobody has wanted me in so long. I'm so grateful you want us. Let's go underneath this tree. As soon as the guy turns, you know, with the walking stick in the temple, the guy died the next day. So that was 3 years ago. And you'll hear men say, ah, watch out for those shoshos. You know, they're dangerous, and not a single one has been raped. Then we moved on to school kids, mostly because we could study it, and also because girls between the ages of 15 and 20 are the most common rape target. Most of the studies you'll read, done by anybody, UNICEF, universities, the UN, are focus group or interviewer based. Ridiculously low incidences, you know, the 2% range. We thought we like invented this box method. Yeah, this stuff you already know. And yeah, that stuff you already know. And you also know that, yeah, nobody's going to talk about rape, especially in Africa, especially with AIDS. So the ballot box method, because democracy is big in Kenya right now, is school kids, teach them in the classroom, then separate them at the end of the class. We do these surveys pre-test, mid. This is a six-week, two-hour per session, 12-hour total self-defense class. It's like a 150-page curriculum she developed over 2.5 years. And they sit at the first, mid, and end of the session, 6 weeks. We do a refresher at 6 months and another at just about 11 months, right before the end of the school year. Apart, 2 meters apart, and we go through the questionnaire with them one at a time. They fill it out confidentially, and then they fold it up and put it in a ballot box. And we ended up with... Somebody else had already done it, too. We didn't invent it, but it works well. We ended up with a baseline incidence of rape at 25% per year. One in four girls in Korogocho is raped every year in high school. It's like, wow, that was fairly staggering. And then we looked into, the relationship between, could we reduce the incidence? Nobody's ever proven that. Be hard to do in America. The incidence in America per year, CDC's is the biggest study, is 0.05% per year. So you'd need an N of like millions to prove any decrease in incidence. With an N of 1 in 4, it's possible. Then looking at the efficacy and the cost effectiveness. Two groups, those under the training and then a control group, which were just taught life skills classes. That's pretty much what people have been doing is life skills, one-off lectures to 60, 50, 200, whatever. Actually, we did that for the first year we started this. We're giving lectures to 200, 300. We trained 100,000 girls, but it's hard to know if it works. I mean, what do they take away? Here's the age. I told you about the six different surveys that we did. So this is our first one was a pilot, 381 kids, girls. The annual baseline, again, is 1 in 4, dropped to 9% at the end of the year. Extraordinary. The controls really didn't change much, 23 to 21%. I'm like, whoa, this actually worked. So then we expanded into the slums that I told you about. Those slums range in size from, everybody tells you Kibera has a million people. Like, they did a census, and it turned out to be 260,000. Why is that? Because all the NGOs. So you keep bumping up your numbers, so you can like prove more. Classic. Then we looked at three other slum areas where we could use a control. This is the numbers. It's really difficult to study this because the slums really don't have enough infrastructure to even have secondary schools. That's why Makuru, which is a huge slum of 180,000 people, had a lower N, but you can see it's fairly evenly distributed in the other schools. Fairly evenly distributed amongst Form 1 is like a freshman, Form 4 is a senior. And this is a lifetime incidence, 23%. There's the annual incidence. This is in a much bigger N. This is our current study of 1,985 girls. This is our 2012 study that we just finished. First one, 381 girls. Now in all the slums, 1,985 girls. Predictable perpetrators. Maybe boyfriend is a little higher than you think. But with us, self-defense works against everybody. It works against thugs. It works against your uncle. It works against your neighbor. It's the best I can do. You have to kind of see what this is, like, know what it is.
You know, you have it on TV, you said?
I don't think
it'll
go through.
The
second rape that I had, that
has
happened to me, that I was
come on.
So I wanted to show you that because, yeah, there's some powerful physical self-defense moves, but you may have seen in the background what my wife calls the assault continuum. And rapists, when they come after you, they don't just pick random targets and jump on you, okay? They target, you know, they try to see, are you a good target, you know, and then they test you. Maybe it's like they approach you, they talk to you. Maybe it's if your neighbor, you know, they offer you something or some kind, and they see if you're an easy victim. The biggest thing we do is we try to teach girls to be a bad victim. You know, the way you carry yourself, your awareness, etc. Most of rapes are stopped with a voice. Most of this is non-physical. 70-80% of these rapes are stopped without any physical intervention. So what you really see in those girls is not that they learn a set of skills, but the girls you see in the scene, it's like, I'm danger! You know, it's like really powerful. You bring that up in those girls. Our whole point is the world who's working with rape is working on aftercare. There's not enough dollars on the planet Earth to take care of all the girls that are being, especially at that instance with aftercare. But that's what we do. Like, you know, I'm a healthcare professional myself. It's like you stand at the bottom of the waterfall and you, oh, this girl, and it's like nobody climbs up the cliff and tells the girls, don't go over the waterfall. It's so hard to convince people of that. If we're trying to say that if you take 10% of your resources, UN, Doctors Without Borders, UNICEF, except 10% of your resources, you can stop global rape. The incidences in our next study, simple, devastating. They're relevant in the slum environment. It's a continuum. It's not just like, you know, I'm going to punch somebody's lights out. You know, like most of it can be avoided. So here's our study after self-defense with 1,700 down to 8%. It works. That's a huge N. Next year, as this movie said, we're going to teach 15,000 girls. Perpetrators are about the same. The really biggest thing here is the cost effectiveness. If you look at what it costs just for the initial treatment, okay, that's just the exam, the labs, the PEP, okay, it's $1.75. It's 60 times more cost effective to prevent a rape than it is just for that initial treatment. That's not even looking at early pregnancy, you know, HIV, AIDS, the emotional, psychological devastation, what it does to that girl's life. Just looking at this initial, it's 60 times more cost effective to stop the rape in the first place. And that's it. Super high incidence, reduced down to 8% after this intervention. Over 50% of the girls, almost 60% of the girls, reported using the skills to stop a rapist in the year following the training. If you know anybody, UNICEF, Gates, UN, tell them to use prevention. Tell them to try prevention. Nobody is doing this. Thank you very much.